This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
When you're good to mama, mama's good to you.
I turn to you like a flower leaning toward the sun. I turn to you, 'cause you're the only one.
And when I fall down, I have to pick myself back up. And when I fall down, stand up for the champions, for the champions. Stand up for the champions, for the champions. Stand up.
This is Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome. I'm Michelle Barber, and you are listening to Stand Up Straight, where we aim to provide a vehicle for the straight allied supporters to stand up for our GLBT&I community, to encourage and create greater inclusion, share stories, give advice, create dialogue, or introduce a new way of thinking. But most importantly, we want to facilitate change towards a greater acceptance of our rainbow family in all its shapes and sizes. Thank you to the quiet and mousy Chris and Cam for another exciting 3 hours of drive, and the effervescent, sparkly Gary Wilson for the news. And for all those folks out there, we are talking about religion tonight. I've got two lovely gentlemen sitting next to me on the desk, and we're going to be talking about how religion played a part in their lives, where they are now, whether it was a nice journey, a rocky journey, or a smooth road, or whatever you want to call it. So I'd like to welcome Michael and Andrew.
Thanks for having us.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, that's a good voice for radio too. So welcome. So we're going to have a bit of a chat. Some of you might be familiar with Andrew. He's on a show that happens to follow me on a Thursday night, Spirit Lounge.
That's right. We'll be coming up next.
Yes, it will.
I might have to run off halfway through and do some things.
No, we won't let you.
We'll see how we go.
So, Andrew, could you tell me a little bit about yourself? I know that's a really open-ended, broad question, and a bit about Spirit Lounge too.
I guess I'll start with a little bit about myself.
Yeah.
I identify as Christian, mm-hmm. and I also identify as a gay man. I am in my late 20s, so I acknowledge that I have a lot of my journey ahead of me still.
And there's that word.
And I, as you mentioned before, help out with the Spirit Lounge, with the lovely Joy Etwell as well. We'd never be able to do it without her.
Of course.
I feel like the show that we do is all about spirituality and exploring what faith means to you. I think it's really important to note that religion and faith mean different things to different people, and we have to be really respectful of that.
So it's a really, I'm taking it as a very broad-minded view of every type of religion and ways of, that people are involved in their own religion. Would that be right?
Yeah, I think that it's really important. Whenever we're talking about religion, it's always important to acknowledge that potentially not everyone who is part of a particular religious organization will fervently believe every dogma that goes with that organisation. Mm. So it is a very, very personal thing.
So is it a little bit of a tightrope walk that, do you think, that you walk?
Well, I'm quite open about the fact that I'm part of the Uniting Church, and they, well, I feel like the faith community that I participate in, we walk together on our journey. Mm. And I feel that there's a lot of people that go to my church that probably don't share the same beliefs as me, and I can learn off them. And I feel like by me having a different view on the world, I can help them learn as well. So,
Do you feel that that's a little bit of a mission? Do you have it like a you want to beat the drum a little bit, do you think? And kind of make people, you know, make people, I don't know, get them to understand that, hey, being gay, no big deal. You know, we can still sit and pray together, or we can do whatever. Did you feel it's a bit of a mission to make them realise these sorts of things?
Look, a little bit. I never actually thought that it would be a big deal, though.
Why is that? Do you mean other people did make it a big deal and you didn't think it was?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah?
So when I was growing up, I've always been part of a church community. Mm. The church that my parents went to was quite a small church. In fact, we were so small that we couldn't afford to hire a minister. And so they did this thing, like a lay ministry kind of thing, where each member of the church has some kind of contribution that they make.
So really inclusive. Which,
yeah, it's very inclusive. It made it so tight-knit. It's like a family.
Mm.
In fact, I would say I probably would be closer to some of those people than I am to my extended family, like my cousins and aunties and uncles and such.
Can I just ask you, did your church family know that you were gay, and how old were you when you came out, if you did come out when you're to
well,
the church?
My church family, I don't know whether they knew that I was gay or not. Mm. You know how it's kind of like when you're going through your teenage years, you kind of just are still discovering yourself and still exploring. And like, I wouldn't have even known what label to put on myself. And I kind of feel like I still don't want to label myself. Mm. But being a gay man is a pretty handy label.
Yeah.
You know? So I kind of didn't think that it would be a big deal. And when I started experiencing feelings of attraction to men, I kind of thought, oh, well, okay, this is kind of interesting. And I had a chat with my we had like a resource minister who kind of worked there part-time, whatever. So I thought, oh, well, I'll just go out to lunch with him and we'll have a bit of a chat about it.
Mm.
And I explained the situation about, you know, what I was feeling. And I had no idea at the time whether he would be very welcoming about it or whether he would be, like, completely freaked out.
But had you thought about somebody's reaction or any reaction from anyone in the church?
No, I didn't think it would be an issue. I just thought that everybody would want me to be the best person that I could be.
Yeah. Do you think that was naive then? Looking back now?
Looking back now, there's a few things that I think worked out very nicely in my story. Mm. In my experience, it was very convenient. So it was very convenient that my minister was a safe person because that's not always the case.
That's right.
And it was really good that I had some really strong advocates in my church family.
Was everyone an advocate? Did everyone accept you when you came out? And how old were you?
So I would have been in my first year of uni, I think.
19-ish.
Yeah. And so I kind of like fell in love with some boy at uni. that spurred this whole thing on.
Yeah.
So I was 19. I was probably a little naive. I suppose I kind of felt that, you know, by that time when I was 18, 19, I felt like, oh, you know, I'm actually at the point where I have to make some decisions about myself and about my future. And, yeah, so that's kind of where it went. Within the church, I had some really good advocates, but I found out at a later date, I also had people that were not advocates and people that didn't want me to still be part of that community.
How did that manifest, though? Were they verbally to you or?
No one ever said anything to me.
So how did you know?
The way that I found out was I was just chatting with one of my mates afterwards, like a couple of years down the track. And she was saying that, yeah, there were people who were not supportive, but luckily my advocates within my church family had kind of, I don't know, not ganged up on them.
they rallied around you, I suppose.
They rallied around me and supported me. And I didn't experience any negative flack, for want of a better term, from any of the people in the church community.
What about your family, your immediate family, though? How were they?
So my immediate family is kind of interesting story. My dad came, he was like a very casual churchgoer. I say that because he would show up on Easter and Christmas. And if there was a christening or, you know, one of those formal events, then he'd be there with his best suit on. My mum, on the other hand, would come along every week. And after I came out and seeing the way that my church community really accepted me wholeheartedly, because nothing had changed about me. It was just that I was exploring who I was and who.
Did you think that there was going to be flack? Did you have any reservations about talking to people? Had you anticipated that maybe they'd kick you out of the church or anything like that? Had you had those thoughts?
Not really, to be honest.
No, it's great.
I think I thought it was a non-issue, and then afterwards I realised that actually maybe it's not a non-issue for everyone.
And so your family, how did they respond to you coming out?
So everyone was really good. Probably the person who struggled the most with it was my mum. And mum ended up not coming to the same church as me anymore. And she swapped denominations, in fact, not just going to a different, not just going to a different church community, but moving to a different denomination that had a different kind of theology message.
But does this mean that she didn't support you at all in general, if you don't mind me asking?
Or? No. I was still her son and I always will be. And I think that's really, really important. And she did try and be supportive in ways that she thought was very supportive. I remember a conversation with her where she brought home a whole bunch of brochures for her new church that she was going to, and they had a men's group going, and she's like, "Oh, you should go along. You should go along to this men's group." And I, like, the first couple of times that it happened, I tried to really, really just kind of brush it off.
Make light of it.
And then, like, by the third or fourth, or maybe it was fifth or sixth time it happened, I picked up the brochures and I was like, "Oh, this is an amazing place where I might meet some lovely young men." And she just stopped trying to convince me to go.
Good, very, very good tactic, I have to say. Can I ask, just with your mum, and I'm not trying to sort of delve into somewhere that you don't want to go, but did she or do you think she put her religion before you?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. I'm not sure. I don't think that she would put her faith in God before me. I think that you don't have to. You don't have to choose one or the other.
We think that, but there's a lot of people that don't. In fact, more people than we might even like to admit to that will put their religion and their faith, their beliefs, all of that, and what other people are going to think and say and feel above their own family, you know? It's common.
No, I've always felt really, really supported by my family. There are times when my mum will tell me that she does pray for me every night.
But does that offend you that she's that she would have a reason to pray for you?
Kind of yes and kind of no. Because I feel like if you care about a person in any way, then you would be praying about them.
And you're right. You know, it's probably wrong of me to say that because I saw it only as a negative, and it isn't. You're right. So well done you. You've been, no, but it's true. I think of it that really praying could be for everyone, for anything, anywhere, anytime, for good and bad and everything in between. We are talking to, not yet, we haven't spoken to Michael very much.
Sorry, I've been hogging the microphone.
Oh, how dare you. We are talking with Andrew and Michael. We'll be coming back after the break. You're on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. Be an ally. Talk it out. Educate yourself. Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. Hi, everyone. You are with Michelle Barber. I'm having a lovely old chat here with Andrew. We're going to bring Michael in with the into the conversation now. And the first question I'm going to ask you, Michael, does your mother pray for you? We just asked Andrew before we went to a song.
I don't know if my mother prays for me. In fact, I don't know if my mother prays for anybody, but I don't think she needs to pray for me, put it that way.
That's a very, very good answer. One of the things that I wanted to ask you was, in a similar sense, how religion has played, similar to Andrew, how religion's played a part in your life and whether it does now still. Does it?
Well, look, it's an interesting question. It's sort of one of those things that's been a continual part of my life. I was born into a family, you know, with a very strong Jewish identity, and you know, I grew up in Melbourne, and Melbourne has a relatively strong, close-knit Jewish community, which sort of has a number of different streams running through it, all sort of in parallel, and usually aren't aware or don't want to be aware of the others, to be honest.
How true.
The only one of them can be really Jewish, which puts a whole lot of interesting questions
there out
there.
There may be a few in-jokes, I think, between you and I in the next couple of hours.
But it's been a continuum throughout my life. Whether I've engaged with it as much throughout my life, that's changed. It's been a very interesting journey for me.
Can I ask how old you were when you came out to your family?
Look, I came out at the age of 26, not only to my family, but to myself. I don't think that they ever really thought I was really that straight. And my brother would ask me for a number of years before I came out, am I gay? And I'm sure my parents had a very strong idea what my sexual orientation was going to be when I decided what it was going to be. But it's been an interesting one.
You said you came out to your family and also to yourself. What can you describe that? What do you mean you came out to yourself? As in, does that mean you were in denial? Does that mean you didn't want to acknowledge it? Were you scared? Blah, blah, blah. Is that what that means?
From the age of 10, I discovered that I was attracted to the same sex. Mm. From the age of 10, so around grade 4 or 5, whatever I was. And it took me until I was 26 to actually find myself comfortable with the concept that I was attracted to men. I knew that I had an attraction to men, but that wasn't something I could acknowledge to myself as comfortable, and it wasn't something that I felt comfortable talking to other people about. Mm. And no one had ever really broached the topic with me on a conversation level.
Does it mean that you're in turmoil or guilt-ridden because is it on some subliminal level, yes, you know you are gay, but you can't verbalise it or think about it on a really...
It meant that for 16 years of my life, I had to be somebody I wasn't.
That's right. So is there guilt attached to that?
There's guilt. I think there was a whole lot of anxiety, and it was something that nearly destroyed me.
Mm. Was there any support groups or anything that you, if you don't mind me asking?
For the best part of 16 years, there was nothing in my life at all that I could actually say was of any help to me. Not even the psychologists that I was seeing constantly because I wasn't coping. Not only with that, but a whole range of things. Until I was able to then acknowledge to myself that this is what I was and I needed to talk to somebody about it. And it took me, I remember the 13th of September in 1995. Oh. And on the 13th of September, I was listening to a radio station. It was probably Fox. And I was listening to some stand-up comedian talking about them coming out as a gay person understanding themselves as gay. And I listened to his life story and I thought, oh, that's me. If that's what he is, then that's what must be what I am. And I then took that, spoke to a person, and then within 2 days, I not only told my friends and family, but I started telling everybody in my life over the next 2 weeks. So I remember the 15th of September is when I told my parents on a Friday night. You can look up the calendar. Friday night in their bedroom, I opened this Pandora's box of emotions.
Wow. That's and I've, your face has lit up while you're telling me that.
Oh, well, you know, it's been a big part of my life, and I have never looked back on that moment.
That's amazing. For that to be, that would be like a light bulb moment, that switch, your whole life would have turned around, and was it a sense of relief, celebration?
Well, it was an amazing moment in my life, not only because of that, but what happened was I was a juror on a 10-week court case, and I was in the middle of that, out of work, so I'd left work to attend jury service. Mm. I'd been on a panel of 14 people because it was going to impaneled 14 for a 10-week jury service. They needed to have continuity of jurors. And then halfway through this, I actually had this whole life-changing thing in my life in the middle of sort of that August. Things were changing, September. And then, bang, it happened. One day I walked back into the courtroom as a juror and I was Michael the gay man. And all of a sudden, the security guard on the other side of the prosecution was somebody I couldn't take my eyes off. I didn't have...
You couldn't admit to it before.
I didn't have an ounce of guilt about thinking about that. Lucky he was... in the other side of the prosecution.
Everyone lunged across the desk.
It made the court case a whole lot more interesting. Because
you didn't even know what was going on,
did you? Speak any of the four dialects of Chinese that they were trying to translate from.
Oh, that's great. So, sorry to bring the tone down a bit, but did religion play a big part, do you think, in your not coming out or not acknowledging, do you think?
Look, in a formal sense, no, I don't think so. But I think in the culture of the community that my parents were involved with, it wasn't the done thing. So there was no formal support.
Hang on, what do you mean not the done thing? What do you mean?
Well, it was, I was brought up, I guess, essentially with the Orthodox Jewish community around me, and we attended an Orthodox Jewish synagogue, and I, you know, did all the things that you do when you're brought up as Orthodox. And, you know, homosexuality is not acceptable, and it still is not acceptable. Mm. Interestingly enough, things are changing around it in itself does not condone homosexuality.
Did you have any thoughts? Did you have any thoughts that you might have been rejected by either your friends in the synagogue or the Jewish friends that you had?
I attended the local Jewish scout group and Cub Scouts. Mm. My parents were Cub leaders, and through all that, they were a fairly, you know, I guess religion wasn't a core part of their lives as a group of people, but they all attended this Jewish community centre in Doncaster here in Melbourne. Mm. And I think
the really interesting thing is that Andrew was 19 when he came out and comfortably and openly in his church and his church family, and yet 26 you were when you...
Look, it was probably more about me. It was more about me being able to deal with my emotions and be able to accept myself in a whole range of scenarios, and my sexuality was just one of the many aspects of my life that I hadn't been able to pull together until that particular point. So... it wasn't just my sexuality that I was having trouble with back then.
Mm. Have you been back to the synagogue since you've been out? And how's that reaction?
I actually used to attend synagogue, and we're back when I, you know, felt a connection to a religious identity. And I stopped attending because I didn't feel that I could be part of a religious community at the time that said literally the words that, translated from Hebrew, that homosexual sex or activity is something that people should be killed for and that it's forbidden. And I really wasn't in a position to be part of that. I still don't believe that they can say it's acceptable to be gay and yet go and say those words as part of their ongoing annual religious cycle.
That sort of mindset I find is disturbing. That people now, 2013, believe that, and
this is Orthodox Judaism. Orthodox means unchanging,
of course. But what message does that send to a 15-year-old that be sitting in a synagogue that's thinking about coming out, and they're hearing these sorts of that disturbs me?
Well, it's supported by research, and the unfortunate part is that a lot of these people end up damaged. Their families are damaged, and unfortunately, that contributes to the high rate of youth suicide.
I know. Andrew, did you I know you, it was been a different environment, but did you come across anything that you were being taught at church that would go to, went against what you were feeling and so on?
Against the grain.
Against the grain, yeah.
I suppose, like, the biggest challenge to my beliefs have been really good, robust discussions with people of different congregations or people who are outside of my church family. Or what I experience in my own congregation, who I consider to be my own family, was nothing but love. And those conversations that I had with people external to that, whether they be from different congregations in the same church or whether they be from different denominations, different states, different countries, those conversations are the hardest ones to have. And I say they're robust conversations because you do really get challenged. And there have been times, sometimes you do get heated and it's like, oh, actually, maybe I'll just step away from this for a minute. but more than anything, like things, I love a good debate. And so if something gets under my skin, then I'm like, okay, I actually just want to like flesh this out a little bit. but those robust discussions lead to me going back to my faith community and saying, oh, hey, this is what I was told, and can we work through it together? And in a spirit of love and journeying together, we work through it.
Yeah. We're going to go for a break in a minute, and when we come back with Michael and Andrew, I want to have a chat about some of the dialogue that we might have had with our various communities, with our families and friends, and get into that a little bit more. You're on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Hi, everyone. You are with Michelle on Stand Up Straight with the lovely Andrew and the equally lovely Michael. We've been talking about religion, and here's a question for both of you. Have you ever had somebody say, oh, are you religious, or are you a religious person?
Can I field that one first?
Yes.
I have people say that to me all the time, and I never know how to approach it because I would prefer to say I'm a person of faith because if somebody goes, oh, are you religious? And you say yes, like I feel like I'm buying into all of the baggage that comes with it. And I'm not really sure that my beliefs carry all that baggage.
What do you think they mean then? Are they wanting a definition of, are you observant? Do you go to church or synagogue frequently? What do you reckon they mean?
I actually don't think it's any of that. I think they just want to know how to position you so that they can judge you.
Oh, that's too heavy for this show.
Well, you know, it's true, though.
No, I'm joking. You're right. So talk more about that.
Well, it's all about stereotypes. That's what labels are. You know, that's what being a gay man is, or what being a religious person is, or being this or that, you know, or a Liberal Party supporter, or whatever it is that you do, you know. People want to be able to then say, oh, I agree with you, or I disagree with you, and then place you above or below themselves.
And is
or perhaps on equal.
I don't know that I agree with the above or below.
Well, not above.
I think...
okay, keep it clean, fellas.
No, I didn't go there with that.
No. Like, I think it does help people to figure out how you work and how, like, if they think, oh, okay, well, you're a good Christian and you go to church every week, then I know maybe a selection of other people who are also good Christians and also go to church every week, and they also think about a particular issue this way, or they also feel about something in this particular way. So I feel like, yes, you're right about putting people into groupings, but the danger is that those groupings are not always accurate.
Well, no, and stereotypes are never accurate.
Do you think it also means that it defines how we react to you? So if somebody says, if I'm saying you're religious and you say yes, then it means maybe I'm not going to swear or talk about sex or something like that. So maybe it's going to define how I react to you, how I act around you as well.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I think sometimes you'll find like people will like consciously change the way that they've treated you, even if you've known them for a bit.
It's true.
And you're like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah. But I do that. I know I'll adjust my type of conversation Absolutely, I would.
I think it helps also understand whether a person's a conformist or not, or a non-conformist, and whether you're prepared to go outside the boundaries of what's accepted within that label.
Mm.
I mean, if you were to ask me, if people ask me, am I religious or do I have a religious identity, I would actually in past decades or past relationships or past parts of my life, I would have answered differently. But now I choose to say, no, I don't have a religious identity and I don't have a religious belief or any religious faith. And people then say, well, what are you? And I say, well, I'm Michael.
Yeah, it's true. We're defined by our answers, aren't we?
And that's about as much as you're going to get out of me if you want to label me as anything.
Yeah.
I'm Michael and I will refuse to identify. And that then that throws people. It makes it incredibly frustrating for people. Mm. Say, well, you're that. No, I'm not that. I'm just Michael. And you can call me the labels you want and you can place the constraints around me that you want, but that may or may not be right.
Yeah, and you're nodding, Andrew, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I do think that it is really helpful to say, look, no, I'm not willing to wear that label or this label.
Mm.
You said that before. You said you don't want to be that label.
Yeah, I do think that sometimes labels can be really helpful or really powerful to convey a message as well.
Mm.
So at times I do choose to label myself.
I mean, I agree with what Andrew said earlier about, well, I'm happy to say gay man because that's probably the best thing to describe me. But you know what? I sometimes get my head turned by a beautiful woman walking down the street. And you know what? That's great. As a person who's in a relationship with men who love men, you know, women are gorgeous and attractive too. And that doesn't mean I'm not gay or whatever, but I can still admire beautiful women and find them attractive.
That reminds me of a wonderful story. One of my friends, I was having this discussion with him where he was like, oh, look at her. She's really hot. And I was like, oh, but aren't you gay? This was when I was probably my early 20s, still kind of figuring out the whole thing. I still feel like I am figuring out the whole thing.
In your early 20s?
It depends whether you believe Facebook or not. And he said to me, he said, I'm gay, I'm not blind. So I think there's still a lot of value in that, acknowledging that, hey, we are actually all still people. We're all these organic beings that do have varying shades of everything in us.
And that goes back to your earlier question about my mother. Does she want me to be in a relationship with a woman? You know, she might be praying for me to become straight. Well, no, I actually think she's identified the fact that I love men and she's now happy for me in that relationship. And it's didn't take her all that long, but, you know, a long time ago she worked that out. But now she's thrilled that I'm in a relationship with the most wonderful man in my life and happy for me on that. So, you know, I think parents can adjust what they want.
Absolutely, they can adjust. But obviously it's harder to adjust for some than it is for others. We're just going to come back with the fellas in a second. We're going to have a break. We'll be back in a moment. We're going to ask how we talked about our sexuality with our families, perhaps, and a bit of reaction there on Joy 94.9.
Joy.
You're listening to Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
She's my mum.
Hi, everyone. You are with Michelle, Andrew and Michael, and I'm going to throw a bit of a heavy question. We're going to round out the hour, and also to acknowledge a lovely little message from a young man called Dylan. Absolutely loving the show while getting his hair done. I corrected the grammar that he used in that text. So I'm glad you're enjoying that, Dylan. Andrew and Michael, did you have discussions with your families about sexuality and maybe not so much sex ed, about sexuality? I don't know how else to word it.
Look, one of those things in my life, see, I touched earlier on the fact that I'd been going to see a lot of psychologists when I was younger, and one of the things that I understood about myself that I wanted them to ask the questions about was my sexuality. This was the professional people who'd been to university and all that. Mm. I wanted them to broach that topic with me, and I wanted them to help me open that conversation in my life because I wasn't able to do it myself. I had no grounding in how to have that conversation because I had no family top discussions on that. It never happened, never once in any of the sessions ever. And no, it never came up about my sexuality or any acceptance of asexuality, asexuality in the household with my brother and myself that mightn't have been boy-girl heterosexual type relationships. We had a gay neighbour. There was always conversation about the cousin who we thought might have been gay or something like that.
They had a special friend.
Well, all that, and it was all nice and lighthearted and all of that, but it was never made the whole conversation revolved around, that being them. That's a topic that you could sort of push away,
tucked away,
and it's not us, it's not in our family. Mm. We don't have that.
Do you think... Had that happened the way you had wanted it to, you would have come out
what
younger.
I would have liked. Yeah. What I would have, what I was terrified of, Michelle, as a person growing up in a relatively modern and fairly open minded household, was the conversation. So what I was terrified of was being kicked out of home.
Really? Did you actually think they'd do that?
Look, please, this is completely painting my father in the wrong light. How I felt, but...
That's right, how you
had
felt.
I known what it would have been like, it was completely the opposite. Mm. But I never knew that it was how it would pan out if I'd had that conversation, and I was petrified that I would be kicked out of home. It was a completely irrational fear, but it was one that I hadn't... had no understanding of, and as a person who had no income or whatever, you're dependent on your parents growing up, the last thing you want is to be kicked out of home.
And it's all fear-based then, isn't it?
Oh, look, and I wished, out of everything that had ever happened growing up, the one thing that never happened, I wished my parents had said, Michael, no matter what it is you are, if you're gay or straight or whatever, we will still love you and we will love you and we will not kick you out of home. You'll be always part of our lives. And we will help you through whatever it is and bring your boyfriend or what girlfriend home. Mm. All that, none of that ever happened. And I knew nothing about how they felt. I was in this limbo, this emotional limbo.
Gosh.
And every time there was a conversation about, Michael, why aren't you meeting girls? Why aren't you having a relationship? It wasn't, well, firstly, I wasn't actually in a relationship frame of mind. I didn't know how to do relationships, boy or girl. But, it was the wrong question to ask. And I think my parents mightn't have known how to ask those questions. I wish... Looking back, they could probably do it now when that, some 15, 20 years down the track. It's a conversation that parents must have with their children, not when they're old enough, but before they're
day
old
dot.
Enough.
They
need to
dot.
Let
they need
their
to.
Kids know that it's a normal part of growing up, because your kids, 16 years of my life, I didn't know what to do. That's 16 years.
There's a real pained sense that I'm getting from you, and I absolutely 100% agree. And this is where parents out there that are listening, it does not matter. It doesn't matter, gay, straight, any. It's irrelevant. You have to have your kids need to know that you are that it doesn't matter, and it's those simple words. And look at the difference that potentially it would have made. This is, you're very, very fired up. But
well, what actually ended up happening was that I moved out of home the June that year. An opportunity arose, and I moved into a shared flat with two other guys. And that was sort of me now being able to take control of my life. Mm. And I still hadn't quite come out at that stage. It was on the verge, like literally around the next corner in the June that year. I moved out of home, and then I was able to, things started, like the momentum of 26 years of my life had started building up, and I'd gotten to that point where it was on this uncontrollable turning point of my life, literally, and things started changing, and then I was out of home and I no longer had that.
Can I just ask you really quickly, and we do have to finish up, have you ever discussed this with your parents?
Look, over the years a number of times, not recently, we haven't needed to, but it has come up in the past.
Were they aware that
oh, yes.
sort of
look,
the term,
we,
or had they spoken more about things with you?
I think they would have liked to have done things a bit differently. Yeah. My dad came to a PFLAG meeting with me within the first week of coming out.
Oh, good on you. That's nice to hear.
It was wonderful. He was excited to go as well. He had a gay son. He was proud of it.
It's a bloody amazing thing to have a gay son.
This was 1996, and he had a gay son. And this, if only I'd known for 16 years that it would have been cool with him.
I know.
Where was I?
You don't. It's gone. They did the best they can. It's all cliche, I know. We are nearly finished again. We need to start wrapping up and thanking gorgeous Andrew and Michael. You were just about to say something, Andrew, were you?
Oh, I was kind of thinking, oh, I wonder if my parents would have come with me to PFLAG if I asked. And I'm not sure that they would have.
Ask them.
That's your mission. There you go.
That's my mission.
You can. I've really enjoyed having both of you on tonight. I hope we've broadened a few minds and educated a few people along the way. We have Andrew's back in about 5 or 6 minutes.
That's
with
right.
Spirit Lounge.
Don't go anywhere.
Don't go anywhere. So Andrew and Joy will be on Spirit Lounge, having a vivacious, exciting time, no doubt, with your guests.
Yes, our studio will be filled with music. We've got two
Beautiful.
Musicians joining us. Very, very talented. So stick around.
Lovely. Thank you. Michael, thank you very much. Thank you to my program support, Matthew on the other side of the desk. Leave you with your challenge. Go on, Maddie, say it.
Woo!
Woohoo! There you go. Leaving you with your weekly challenge, guys. What will you do this week to stimulate dialogue, create change, or encourage involvement? You have been listening to Michelle Barber on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Take a look at our Stand Up Straight page on the Joy website. Head to joy.org.au, click on the program grid and select Stand Up Straight for our blog and podcast. Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.